This morning I'd like to consider the subject of conversion. Just a few points about conversion. Before we define it, sometimes it's helpful to explain it with examples, to help us understand what are we talking about. And so often, things we do in daily life describe so well the concept that we have in the spiritual sense. Conversion. How do we use conversion or conversions in daily life? And just a few minutes ago, I was thinking, so I have my examples here, and it's going to be foreign to you. I hope you understand from my foreign expressions. So, if you work in the kitchen, you deal with conversion. Perhaps you go to the cookbook and the recipe calls for a pound of apples. But you don't have a scales. And how are you going to figure out what a pound of apples is? So you go to this chart in your cookbook, and the chart says 1 pound of apples equals 3 medium apples. And so, there you have it. Someone has made a conversion for you. Perhaps the recipe calls for 2/3 cup evaporated milk. Yeah, but it comes in a can. And the can doesn't say how many cups or what part of a cup this is. So again, you go to the cookbook, and on this chart it says 2/3 cup evaporated milk equals 5 ounces, a 5 ounce can, and sure enough, it comes in a 5 ounce can. Perhaps you're gonna make a macaroni dish and you want your dish to accommodate this amount of people. So it needs to be this amount, this many cups of cooked macaroni. Well, as we all know, macaroni changes as you cook it. What do you start out with? Well, again, your cookbook will tell you 8 cups of cooked macaroni equals 4 cups of dry. It converts it for you. As we, in our use of water, we're all familiar with water, and we often use a cup with water. We're familiar with water. We use a lot of water. But you take water and freeze it, it becomes an ice cube. It's still water, but it's been converted to another form. And if we go the other direction, you heat the water, and it becomes steam. Again, it's still water, but it's been converted. So those of you in school, and we still use it after we get out of school, so your math book will give you a fraction and ask you to convert it to a decimal. trick out here. Let's same values. We're still talking about the same value, but it's a conversion. And when you talk about temperature up here, you totally lose me. I have no idea where we are. And so I need a conversion so I know what we're talking about. Our currency. Again, I can't come to Canada without experiencing conversion with the currency to understand what it's going to take and for you to come to the States. We all probably drove here this morning, and our cars have batteries in them, and those batteries take chemical energy within them and convert that chemical energy to electrical energy. And it starts the car, allows the car to operate. And we have converters, and you who are more electrical than I am, a converter goes from AC to DC, I believe. It converts one form of energy into another. Conversion. Conversion means to turn about, to turn from, and to turn to change. And so, as we see in the examples, in a natural sense, in some of the examples, we have equal values on either side of the conversion. In some of the other conversions, the value is going to change. Spiritually speaking, as we experience conversion, as we experience that change, that turning, that conversion takes place within us, and I remain Laverne. At the same time, there is a change of value that takes place. First Thessalonians 1:9 says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." A description of conversion. A turning from a life of serving idols to a life of serving God. Something we want to keep in mind as we go along here is that conversion requires change. Two-thirds equals two-thirds, but there's no change. One-tenth equals one-tenth. There's no change. But in the conversion, there's change. It requires change. Well, there's six things that we want to notice that either conversion is or that conversion does. First of all, conversion changes the heart, not just personal traits. Psalm 19:7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." It, as we noted Friday evening, it's a heart change. converts the soul. Conversion is more than just an attempt to improve a bad habit or to just clean up my language. Or, well, I just need to try to do a little better. That's not conversion. Conversion requires a change. Paul is a good example. We read of him in his pre-conversion state and how he, to the best of his knowledge, he lived with zeal. He had a purpose, he had a goal, and he followed that goal wholeheartedly. And he worked against the Church of God, followers of God, this movement that called themselves Christians. And God, as Saul met God, and as God took his life, God didn't just take his zeal away. No. God changed the heart. God converted his heart. And that same zeal was redirected, and God used it. Conversion requires change. Secondly, conversion can't use the best we have. In Philippians 3, the first part of the chapter there, we have Paul listing, oh, his credentials as he lived life, as he added up who he was by birth, by education, by purpose. He lists who he was, and he makes quite a list. And yet he says, as he met God, and as he came to a full realization of who God was and what God was calling him to, what God wanted of him, all those things lost importance. He gave up all those things for the sake of the gospel. It was all loss. It was unimportant. Jesus said, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Except ye be converted, except ye be changed and become as little children. You know, we leave childhood behind. Do we learn things or do we unlearn things? But we leave childhood behind. We lose that innocence. We lose that simple faith and dependence on someone who is bigger, someone who is more than we are. You take a 6 month to, not sure how far it goes, but you take a young child and just full dependence on mom and dad. Full dependence. No fear to come to mom or dad with need, with interest, anything. Just comes to mom and dad. Why? Well, they know mom and dad is bigger. They know mom and dad can. And they're just free to bring it. Whatever it is. faith that mom and dad is the answer. And we see that. Well, as we get older, we lose that. That dependence on someone else, we lose that, and we direct it this way to self so quickly. Except we become as little children. Jesus calls that conversion. To again come back and rely on God. Give ourselves to God. Conversion requires change. Thirdly, conversion comes only after repentance. And in a sense, as we use these terms, we can't separate the two. Yet, perhaps conversion lies on the far side of repentance. Repentance, as we come and give ourselves to God in surrender, then conversion takes place. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." Allow that work to take place in your heart that we may be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Again, it refers to this turn from my past, from my sin, from the life I used to live, and turn to God. And if we truly repent, we will be converted. The prophet Isaiah speaks of the Jews, and then we have Jesus and Paul quoting from Isaiah. Isaiah likened them to hearts that had waxed gross, ears that did not hear, and eyes that didn't see. They seemed oblivious to God and what God wanted of them. And Isaiah speaks of their need of being converted and likens it to being healed. Conversion requires change. Fourthly, it is God who performs the miracle of conversion, though he often uses others in the process. It is the work of God. Romans 2:4. I find this verse very interesting. Romans 2:4. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Would you have come to God if it was up to you? I don't know if I would have. I doubt I would have. Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." John 6:44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." I don't believe we would come to God if it was up to us. What a gift God has given us through our conscience. That sense of right and wrong. It is the goodness of God that we have an opportunity, that we have the Spirit of God at work within us to draw us to him. Because we wouldn't come. I don't believe we'd come otherwise. And so it is God that does the work of conversion in our hearts. And then God uses people. A couple of verses from James 5. James 5, 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. As a converted person, as a converted child of God, we have a responsibility, and that is to reach out to others. Yes, God does the work in the heart, but he asks you and I to speak and to show his love. To warn others. Warn them and bring them to a conversion experience. Fifthly, conversion results in a new creature who is clothed in righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Does that verse speak of change? Yes, very definitely. Old becoming new. Old things passed away and new things being given. In verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's that change. Jesus became sin for us, that we might be made righteous through him. Isaiah 1:27, Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. It's an Old Testament verse, but New Testament concept, conversion to righteousness. Acts 15, we have Paul returning from his first missionary journey. Acts 15, 1-4, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. This was quite a time in history. The gospel being made open, made available to the Gentiles. And it took the Jews a bit of time to understand and to accept this fact. And we have Paul and Barnabas having gone on their journey and preaching the gospel to the Gentiles and witnessing that work of conversion in the Gentiles. In the heathen world. through which they had traveled, they witnessed the conversion of the Gentiles. And so as they came back to the church and back, they were sent on to Jerusalem then. The people back home still were not accepting this. And so Paul and Barnabas shared with them their firsthand experience of the gospel being given and the conversion taking place among the Gentiles. They saw that change. They witnessed that. The change from a sinner to a saint, from a child of the devil to a child of God, to a lover of the world to a lover of God. And sixthly, conversion results in a burden for the lost and needy. Romans 10, one to three. Again, we're on the subject of the gospel to the Gentiles. Brethren, well, the Gentiles, and but not leaving Israel behind. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. As I read that again, I wondered if Paul could not identify with that. Wasn't that kind of where Paul was before he met God? A zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. A zeal, but it wasn't directed right. He understood where these people were. He had been there. And his desire and prayer was that they too might be changed. They might be redirected. They might understand the righteousness of God. First Corinthians 9:22-23. Again, we have Paul. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker therefore with you. I don't know where we have a clearer testimony of this change taking place in someone's life than of Paul's life, where he, after he met God, his life was so changed and was so on the altar for God. He lost all identity. He was still human. I'm sure he still faced his humanity. But as we have testimony, he gave all for the sake of the gospel. He was willing to be used, however, by God, that he might save some. Very selfless. One more, as Jesus talked to Peter in Luke 22. Luke 22:32-34, Jesus says, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Peter was a little too confident. Lord, I'm ready to go with you now. I will go to death with you today. Peter wasn't converted yet. Peter was still pretty self-focused. And Jesus says, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. And we won't, but if we'd read on in Peter's life, he was a changed man after he was converted. After the Holy Spirit was given, Peter was a different man. And Peter gave himself to strengthen the brethren. So conversion results in a burden for the lost. May we who have experienced conversion, may we continue to grow in that process, the process of just understanding fuller and walking in a fuller way to what that means. May our lives demonstrate a changed heart. And if we have not come to the place of that conversion experience in my life, God is drawing you. God will draw you when the time comes. And may we respond to that. Let's just bow for a word of prayer before we go on.